Amen. Well, good morning. I'm Pastor Bob Donato. I'm a retired elder here at in the East Ohio District. When I came on the district, it was Akron District, so we've moved along. But I've retired from Grace Church, which is over in Austin Town. I've been retired now for about 6 years already. I can't believe that time's went by so quickly, but it has. It has, and I'm glad to be here with you today. It's good to be at New Hope. It's been a long time since I've been in this building. I think the last time I was in this building, Doug Boquist had just started the church many years ago, more than I maybe like to remember. How many of you stayed up to watch the ball drop on New Year's Eve? Some of you did. I did not. At 10 o'clock, I was in bed. I thought, when I wake up, it'll be the new year anyway, whether I stay up till 12:01 or if I get up at 7:30 the next morning, whatever time I happen to get up, which was about what time it did. But you know, there's some people that stayed up all night just to make sure that last year went away. And you know, sometimes when you wake up in the morning, you think, what kind of a day is it going to be? You know it's going to be a bad day when you wake up and you put both contact lenses in the same eye. You know how that is. You know it's going to be a bad day when you wake up and the sun's coming up in the west. Those are those kind of days that we don't like to look forward to. So 2021 is gone. 2022 is right in front of us, laid out in front of us. And I'm not sure what kind of a year it's going to be, and neither do you. Will it hold hope? Will it hold economic difficulty? Will it hold good health? Will it hold ill health? That's something none of us really knows. We really don't know. But one thing I do know, as this year is laid out in front of me, is that I choose to be all that He wants me to be. I choose to give myself before God, say, here I am, Lord, lock, stock, and barrel. You can have all the keys to the kingdom of my heart because I'm going to follow You. Regardless of what life brings my way, regardless of what this world may choose to do, I choose to give to You my heart, my soul, my mind, my faith, my love, my compassion, everything about me. Have all the keys, oh God, to the kingdom of my heart. Now, there's a lot of people that like to hang on to the past. I choose not to. I choose to let it go, forget about it, learn from it, then forget about it. Because there's nothing you can do to go back there to change it anyway, even if you could. And you know that's the actual truth. I want to turn to Joshua this morning and looking at Joshua chapter 1. And I want to talk about, Lord willing, how you and I can possess God's promises for 2022. So if you have your Bibles, or it's going to be up on the screen, hopefully, we're going to turn to Joshua chapter 1 and looking at verses 1 through 11. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead this people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right nor to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Be strong and courageous. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So Joshua ordered the officer of the people, go through the camp and tell all these people, get your supplies ready. 3 days from now you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own. Do you notice how chapter 1 started? Look at that first verse. It says, after the death of Moses. I mean, Joshua could have given up right there. Now, the mantle of leadership has been placed on Joshua's shoulders. And he could have given up, said, man, I can't do this. I don't want to do this. I am not going to do this. He could have said that for a couple of reasons. Moses is dead. Now, he has to lead about 2 million stubborn, frightened Israelites who were scared to death of the inhabitants of the land. You had the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites. They were very hostile. A very brutal, a very frightening nations. And he could have given up, said, I don't want to face that. How would you like to have 2 million people who were stubborn and hard-headed and scared to death? How would you like to lead them? He could have said also, I'm out of here. Not only do I have to lead them, but they're basically inexperienced when it comes to warfare. They were slaves in Egypt. They ran around the desert for 40 years. They didn't know what the first thing about combat. He could have given up right there. But look at what God said in verse 2. He says, now then, talking to Joshua, now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River and to the land I'm about to give them to the Israelites. What made the difference? God's power. That's what made the difference, church. I mean, look at it. God always alters the score. Amen? Moses may have been dead, but God was alive and well and always will be. God declared the victory. He said, the land I am going to give you, take it. He didn't say the land I might give them. He didn't say the land, well, they may earn. He didn't say the land, well, that they have to conquer. He said, the land I am giving them. You see, in God's mind, it was already a done deal. He was already there. They were simply to receive the land God was giving them. Do you see that? You see, victory was certain because the victory was God's. And victory is certain for you and I in 2022. Yes, there's going to be some ups, there's going to be some downs, there's going to be some twists and some turns, but the victory is already God's. He's already there. Now, Israel, like I said, they were in the wilderness, in the desert wilderness for 40 years. So they knew what it was to be in the wilderness. They knew what it was to be in the badlands, I guess you could call it that. But something happened right there because, you see, God spoke. All that was going to change. Because God spoke, Joshua listened, Israel obeyed. And the result was Jericho's walls fell, and the Israelites sent the Canaanite kings into early retirement because God was already there. And God says, you know, I'm going to deliver you this year. Just speak my name, the powerful name of Jesus. And so Israel went from wilderness wanderers to hope-filled homesteaders. Do you get that? And God's promised you and I a promised land living as well. And we have to grab a hold of it. We have to take it. Jesus already did that. You see, the question I have for you and I is, are we living in Canaan? Are we living that promised land life now? We have to ask ourselves that as we face 2022. In my mind, Canaan is a picture of the victorious Christian life. Notice what I didn't say. I didn't say absolute perfection. Because none of us are there until we step out of this physical realm into God's presence. So I'm not talking about a life of absolute perfection, but this Canaan is symbolic of the victorious Christian life. It's a life of spiritual growth. It's a life of spiritual maturity. It's a life of taking higher ground, of gaining victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. Now, every one of us living here or sitting here this morning are living in one of three places. We're living in either Egypt, the wilderness, or Canaan. Let's talk about those for a minute. Are you living in Egypt? Egypt is symbolic of sin. You need to be born again. You need to be saved. You need to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. That's when you come out of Egypt. But some people are still living in the wilderness. Saved, but not strong. Saved, but stuck. Redeemed, but stuck in routine. Saved, but going around in circles. Saved, but you still aren't really digging into the Bible. You're saved, but you're really not praying. You're saved, but you're not consistently tithing. Saved for years, but you've never won a soul to Christ. And sadly, you discover that you're not much further along with God than the day you were saved. Wilderness. And then you got Canaan. You're excited about what Jesus has done. You're excited about the sins are forgiven. They're washed in the blood. You've been redeemed, as the song that we just sang declared. You're saved. You have the joy of the Lord inside of you. And you went from a wilderness wanderer to a giant conqueror. Many within the church, I'm not talking about New Hope Church or Hubbard Church. I'm talking about the Church of the Living God. Many of the church are still in the wilderness. They did a survey a few years ago, and they asked how many Christians in America, in the United States, not worldwide, a survey in the United States. How many of you Christians say that you are propelled by your faith to love God and love others, and you're excited about what Jesus has done? You have spiritual victory. Only 11% said they were propelled in that kind of victorious living. The majority were still languishing in the wilderness. Saved, yes. Empowered, not so much. And they were dying in the land of the in-between. I thought, what about us today? Do you see a difference between what the Bible says and promises and the way your life is going? Do you see a difference there? I mean, Jesus gives joy, yet we live in disappointment and depression. The Bible talks about grace, and we live with guilt. The Bible talks about being more than a conqueror, and yet we live conquered by temptation. Dying in the land of the in-between. Out of Egypt, but not in the promised land. You see, Canaan symbolizes the victory we can have now, today, January 2nd, 2022. We can have that kind of victory now. I like that. But there's a condition. We have to turn our backs on the wilderness. That's what we have to do. We have to do an about face. How would life be different if we lived this promised life, promised land life now? Do you have all the compassion you need? Do you have all the love you need? Do you have all the patience, all the wisdom, all of the faith that you need? Do you want to discontinue with the greed, the guilt, the negative thinking, the critical spirit, getting rid of all that stuff. I have great news. Through Christ, we can. Amen? We can do that. And God wants to give you and I the victories all over all the Jerichos and the giants of our life. That's the great news. And the promised land life is ours for the taking. It really is. But I want to tell you this. You better expect, if you're going to live that promised land life now, you better expect to be challenged often. If you're going to live that promised land life now, you better know for sure your enemy is not going to go down without a fight. But we can expect great progress in life because life is different in the promised land. Remember, God's promises always outweigh the problems of life. Amen? So how in the world, preacher, do we get into this promised land life? Well, the first thing you and I have to do as we think about that, we have to prepare. That's the first thing we have to do. You have to prepare. Look at verse 11. Joshua said, "Go through the camp and tell these people, get your supplies ready." Well, when you're preparing to go somewhere, I spent 28 years in the military. So we always had to make sure that our gear was ready, everything in our rucksack was prepared. We had to be prepared to change direction at any moment and to go where our assignment told us to go. I spent some time over in the great sand trap area in the Middle East. So, you have to take certain precautions. You have to carry your chemical warfare gear as well as all of your weaponry, all that stuff. So if you're going to change direction, if you're going to get prepared to go into the promised land, living church, you've got to change direction. Well, what do you mean by that? I mean by that, if you're going to enjoy this promised land living, you have to make sure that you know you're a child of God. You've got to make sure that your life has been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. That you've been to the cross and you've died out to sin and Satan and all of that junk. And then you've got to change your diet. Look at verse 11. Notice what he said. Tell these people to get their supplies ready. Now, your version may say provision. It may say food. But that the word supplies or provision means food. Now, you see, we know by reading through the Bible that when the Israelites were wandering in the desert wilderness, that God supplied them manna every day. But now, you see, manna was the desert diet. Now, that was going to change. Because God said, as soon as you step foot into the promised land, the manna is going to stop. Because what sufficed in the wilderness was not going to work in the promised land. You're going to go from the desert, from eating manna, to a land flowing with milk and honey, which is symbolic of abundance. That's where you're going. So you have to change your diet. You can't eat the manna desert diet anymore. You're going to live in a land flowing with milk and honey. How's that apply to us? Before we can enter our Canaan land, if you will, you've got to prepare for that land. That means the way we live life has to change. The things that we feed on must change. In fact, the entire scope of our life has to be altered to adjust to living in this promised land life. Maybe that's why so many in the church don't enjoy spiritual victory, because they just don't want to make the necessary changes. And the fact is this: if you expect to live in victory, you're going to have to change your diet and start feeding and filling up on the Word of God. Look what God told Joshua, chapter 1, verse 8. Look what he said. He says, "Do not let this book depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful." I mean, it's a feast that God sets before us, and yet many refuse to eat upon it and feed on it. It's a feast that God says, "Here it is. You can have as much as you want." And yet we kind of push it away and say, I'm really not hungry. And victory becomes reality when we feed and fill up on God's Word. God saves us, and he promises us that we can have victory. But rather than claim what's rightfully ours, like peace and joy and fellowship and spiritual power and the glory of God, we mope around in spiritual defeat. Mope around in a spiritual wilderness, defeated and depressed. Folks, the Bible can be trusted 100%. This book will always, has always and always will outlive its opponents. Always. Amen. You can trust this book. But I have found something. God's word only works when you apply it, when you live it out. It's not some genie lamp that you can rub when you're in trouble. You have to live out the word. You have to get in the word, feed upon the word, live out the word. I like what one preacher said. He said, quote, "Nothing has greater impact on spiritual growth than reflection on Scripture. If churches could do only one thing to help people at all levels of spiritual maturity to grow in their relationship with Christ, their choice is clear. They would inspire, encourage, and equip their people to read the Bible. The key to spiritual growth is not increased church attendance or involvement in spiritual activities. People don't grow in Christ because they're busy at church. They grow in Christ when they read and trust their Bibles." End quote. He hit that nail on the head, didn't he? So you have to prepare. The other thing you have to do is you have to trust God's presence and his power. Trust God's presence and his power. Look at verse 5 and 6 with me. God's talking to Joshua. He says, "No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them." Jump down to verse 9. "Have I not told you or commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." That's great news, church. Because we have the promise of God's presence. Joshua believed God and told Israel as they prepared to cross the Jordan River. You jump over to chapter 3, you'll see that there. In verse 10 he says, "The living God is among you." The living God is among you. New Hope, are we going to believe that for 2022? That the living God is with us. Amen? He is with us. Now, there's some people say, "Well, I don't know, I can't see God, and you know, he's way up there a million miles away, and I'm way down here," and don't ever think like that. Because God's promise to you, to Joshua, is the same to you and I today. He said, "I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you." We have to believe those same promises that he makes in his word. Another thing here, as you look at verse 5 with me, it says Joshua is reminded of God's promises. Look at verse 5. He says, "I promise to give you victory over all of your enemies." Notice what it says. He said, "No one," God said, "no one will be able to stand against you." He says in verse 5 again, the promise of the power and presence of God. God says, "I will be with you." Verse 5 again, look at another promise. The promise of the faithfulness of God. "I will never leave you or forsake you." You have the promise of absolute victory. Notice what he said again. Inherit the land. And then that other one is the promise of God's promise. He said, "I will give them that land." Now, what did Joshua have to do to make this happen? Trust God. That's all he had to do. Trust God. God was going to give Israel the victory, and Joshua was merely the instrument that God was going to use. And these things were going to happen. And for Joshua to be a part of it, all he had to do was trust God. That's all he had to do. Church, do you believe that he still gives victory over your enemies? Amen. Do you still believe, church, that he is ever present? He said, "I'll never leave you or forsake you." He's with you always, even to the end of the age. He is ever present. He is ever faithful. He still gives victory. He still keeps his promise. And what you and I have to do to see all this come to pass? trust God. I don't know what 2022 holds, but I know I'm going to trust Him, because He alters and always overcomes it with victory, life's problems. We can do that. I think what we need badly is, I think the secret of strength is the presence of Christ indwelling us, infilling us, using us. The faltering, the stumbling, the grumbling, the failing, the indifference among a lot of professing Christians today is a direct result of the lack of spiritual power. We need spiritual power today. We need the power of the Holy Spirit within us to withstand the onslaught of evil in our day. And it's time that you and I plug in to the power of God. Amen? It's time that we did that. Because there's going to be giants in the land to face. There's going to be walled cities to attack. And it's time that you and I plug in to the power of God. Because we don't have to face them alone. Now, this suit jacket has been with me for a long time. It's been with me in a lot of sermons. Okay? Yes, I'm still a dinosaur. I still wear suits when I preach. You know, you can't teach an old dog new tricks, they say. So that's just me. But this suit jacket has been with me for quite a while. It's heard a lot of sermons. I wonder if it's learned anything. Suit jacket, I want you to wave at the people. What do you mean you can't? Suit jacket, I want you to lift high the word of God. You can't? Well, I might as well put it back on. It doesn't seem to have learned anything. Well, hey, look here. Now we can wave at the people. How about that? Now we can lift high the word of God. Well, come on, preacher. That's because you're inside the suit jacket. We need the power of the living God within us to do the things that He has called us to do. Amen? With God working in us and through us, we can do anything. That's what Paul said. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So let the Holy Spirit fill you. Let Him get inside you. Let Him fill you. Let Him overflow in you and surrender yourself completely to Him, and you'll gain victory over the giants of your life. You got to remember, you don't have to fight alone, church. Now, unbelief says, let's go back where it's safe. Faith says, let's go forward to where God's working. Unbelief says, I can't. It's too hard. It won't work. This is stupid. Faith says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Unbelief says, oh, wait a minute. Oh, I sure wish I would have believed God. Faith says, I fought a good fight. I finished the course. I've kept the faith. And by the grace of God, I am what I am. You see, faith obeys no matter the consequences, no matter what everybody else is doing around you. You got to prepare. If you're going to have the promised land living, you've got to prepare. You've got to trust God's presence and God's promise. But also look at number three. God says you can have as much as you desire. Do you hear me, church? God said that to Joshua. He's saying that to you and I in 2020. You can have as much as you desire, New Hope. You can have as much as you desire. You see, God promised the land to them, but they had to go in and possess it. God said, look what He said. He said, every place on which your foot treads, I have given it to you. Do you have enough faith in God, New Hope, that wherever your foot treads, in Boardman, Ohio, or wherever you may, that God's going to give it to you? He told Joshua that. He said, every bit of the promised land that your foot touches, it's yours. How much do you want? And that same promise is ours as well. Do you realize you can have as much of God as you want? You really can. When it comes to your walk with God, you can be as spiritual as you decide to be. I mean, I've got to possess what God has for me. You as a church have to possess what God has for you, individually and also corporately. Because God wants us to move from the safety of the shore to get in the boat with Him and go out onto the seas that may be rough and turbulent and trust Him implicitly through the risk of life. The life of the unseen. I mean, you know, if you read chapter 3, the Israelites just could go and dangle their ankles in the water. They had to wade out. They had to trust God and wade out into the middle of that Jordan River, which was that flood stage, by the way. The full cost, absolute surrender. Here I am, I'm going to step out there, and that's where I'm going to be. So give it all to the Lord. Trust Him to give back all that is needed. Now, this is where the theory of faith hits the road of life. And there's an ominous warning right here. And here it is. I set the level of my spirituality. You can't blame, listen, you can't blame the church, you can't blame the pastor, you can't blame the board, you can't blame the Sunday school if you're not spiritually mature. We set the level of our spirituality. And simply put, if I'm no more spiritual than I was 5 years ago, it's because I don't want to be more spiritual. Aren't you glad you came to church? But that's truth, isn't it? Now, last point. How do I possess what God's promised? First thing, you've got to obey the word. Again, look at what he says, verse 7 and 8. Be strong, very courageous, be careful to obey. All the law my servant Moses gave you, do not turn from it to the right, to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night. Meditate means you think carefully. Scripturally, whenever you read meditate in the Bible, it means to think carefully, to mull it over. Doesn't mean to kick your mind to neutral and No, that's not meditate. Meditate scripturally is think it over, mull it over, carefully. How does it apply to my life? You got to remember, back then, Israel, 40 years ago, as we read the book of Joshua, 40 years before that, they were right on the brink of the promised land. You remember that? And God said, take it! And what did they do? They disobeyed and said, oh, no. And what happened? God said, okay, back to the wilderness. 40 years. They wandered through the wilderness. 40 years later, here they are. Right on that edge again. And God says, hey, you want to walk with me? He's telling us that today, too. Hey, do you want to walk with me today? I guess the lesson is, we cannot make spiritual progress beyond the point of our disobedience. Wow. Did you get that, church? We cannot make spiritual progress beyond the point of our disobedience. Obey God's word. Second thing, face the future confidently. Why? Because God's with you. He's promised never to leave you or forsake you. Third thing, walk with God one step at a time. One step at a time, one day at a time. You know, back in 1999, we were horrified by the news of the tragic killing in Columbine High School. We know that many students lost their lives in that heinous day. One student professed her faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and was killed for it. She walked into Columbine High School on that Tuesday morning, a promising student. And her body was carried out 24 hours later, a Christian martyr. Do you believe in Jesus? One of the perpetrators sneered at her. And she said, yes, I believe in Jesus, in a voice loud enough for her frightened classmates to hear. And that perpetrator turned in that black trench coat, turned his gun on her and says, why? And then he shot and killed Cassie Bernal. Her brother found her journal and he brought to their parents. And here's what Cassie wrote just the Sunday before she was killed. After church on a Sunday afternoon, she wrote this, quote, "Now I have given up on everything else. I have found that it to be the only way to really know Christ and to experience the mighty power that brought him back to life again and to find out what it means to suffer and die with him. So, in capital letters, whatever it takes, I will be the one who lives fresh newness of life of those who are alive from the dead," end quote. Wow. Commit to a life of full surrender. Here I am, God. And as we live in obedience to God's word, he'll take us along this spiritual journey step by step. And the last thing is, receive your inheritance. Receive it. I mean, as a follower of Christ, you have his presence within you. It's not about you. It's all about him and others. You can't, but he can. Those wandering in the wilderness will say, "Well, I'm weak and I always will be." Promised land people say, "I was weak, but I'm getting stronger." Huh? Wilderness wanderers say, "Well, I'm a victim of my environment." Promised land people say, "I'm victorious regardless of my circumstances." Wilderness wanderers say, "This is more than I can handle. I'll never get through it." Promised land people say, "Yeah, it's tough, but God will get me through it." Remember who you are. You're God's child. You've been redeemed and forgiven of all your sins. You're complete in Christ. You're free from condemnation. You're God's co-worker, seated with him in the heavenly realms. You're God's workmanship. You are a citizen of heaven. You're adopted into God's family. You're born of God, and no one can touch you. Because the manifest presence of the mighty God within you, that means you can have joy in times of sorrow. You can have courage in times of conflict. You can have peace in times of persecution. You can have power in the times of trouble. You can have help in the times of hardship. You can have contentment in the times of conflict. And you can have the confidence of the times of challenges. But you have to remember whose you are. You got to remember what God has done for you. I've been bought with a price. I belong to God. I've not been given a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I cannot be separated from the love of God that is through Christ Jesus. I can find grace and mercy to help me in time of need. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Oh, church, when are we ever going to discover that no condition can confine God? No affliction can amaze him. No dilemma can restrict him. How often are we going to think about that? No power can possess him, and no grave can hold him. Amen and amen. Remember who you are. Remember what he's done. And possess the promise.